You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is David. He's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, David.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I don't know so much that I have a question as kind of a statement. I've read the Bible cover to cover about 40 times.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm 47 years old, and I discovered something a couple of years ago, my last couple of times reading through the Bible, that really sparked something in my mind. A light bulb came on, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It started as a very small thing. I saw a contradiction in Acts chapter 9, verse 7, where it says that the men traveling with Paul heard the voice of Jesus. But then when Paul recounts the story later, and Luke records both accounts, he's the writer of Acts, I believe it's in Acts 22:9, Paul says that the men traveling with him did not hear. The first time he says they heard, the second time they said they didn't hear. Well, at first I thought, well, maybe just a translation error. So I went and looked up every different Bible that I could possibly find and compared them. And they all showed this contradiction. So then I was like scratching my head, and I was like, well, I thought the Bible was infallible, but this is clearly a contradiction. So I got to looking a little bit deeper. I prayed about it, and I feel like the Holy Spirit revealed something to me. At Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to the church of Ephesus, and he says he praises them for testing men who claim to be apostles, but were found to be false apostles, and liars. And another thing, please bear with me, I'm trying to be very concise and quick about this. In Revelation 2, verse 14, and also 20 through 23, Jesus rebukes two separate churches who had some in them who were eating food sacrificed to idols. Now, if you know anything about Old Testament, it was forbidden to eat food sacrificed to idols. In Acts chapter 15:28, the 12 apostles, along with the Holy Spirit, made a decision that the Gentiles should be taught to refrain from four things: things strangled, blood, fornication, and things sacrificed to idols. Now, the Holy Spirit was in agreement with them, so we know that was right. It's the same thing that Jesus said in Revelation there. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, says that it's okay to eat things food sacrificed to idols. I think Paul was a false apostle. I think Paul was misguiding people.
Yeah, well, you're throwing a lot out here, and it's hard to deal with all of it unless you give me some time to respond. But I think this is indicative of a failure to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. And by the way, let me make a quick comment. If, in fact, what you are saying is true, then we have a big problem with the Bible, because Paul obviously wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, and he was commended by the other apostles. And we have ample evidence to think that the apostle Paul was not a false prophet, but rather was genuinely designated as the apostle to the Gentiles. As far as food sacrificed to idols is concerned, there's a lot that could be said here, but the basic principle here is clear, and that is, it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is rather that which proceeds from the heart. And therefore, Jesus clearly is teaching that all foods are clean. Now, there are reasons why you would not ingest certain foods in certain circumstances, and that's delineated in the historical narratives that you read in Acts. And by the way, speaking of Acts, where you were speaking about the notion of a contradiction in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22, I think you said, what is very clear in context is the men heard but did not understand the voice. And so you really do not have a contradiction. And I think it's less than charitable to suppose that a writer like Dr. Luke, who writes the second volume after his first volume, which is the Gospel according to Luke, that you have an esteemed doctor that would contradict himself within his own writing. He's not someone that you would read and think, boy, this guy is kind of a loose cannon. No, he carefully researches everything because he wants to make sure that what he is communicating stands up under scrutiny. In fact, he starts his letter in Acts in that very way, where he says that he is carefully examining everything. So he's doing the very thing that we are called upon to do in Scripture, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Now, if you really want answers to all your questions, if this is not just looking for contradiction, I've dealt with so many of the alleged contradictions that people raise in my book, Has God Spoken, where you get clear and credible answers in response to those skeptics who suggest that the Bible's riddled with contradiction. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Richard, Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bart Radio. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hank. My question was concerning the... There was a lady that called and she had asked you about submitting to her husband. And what I was reading in Ephesians, I believe it was like first chapter 5, verse 21 or something like that, that... The only thing that it said was that the wife was supposed to submit to each other, and then it goes on to tell the wife to submit, and then the husband to love her. And I understand that, you know, in a loving relationship, the husband is going to take into account how the wife, you know, what her opinion is, what she desires, what she wants, and then the husband can take that into account when making, you know, wise decisions. But ultimately, as the priest of his household, as the Christ figure in the house, he is ultimately responsible for the decisions that are made. He will be the head, as Christ is the head over the church. The church isn't going to tell Christ what to do. I'm not trying to say that in like such a hard line, you know, like your wife's going to tell you what to do. But ultimately, Christ is the one that's saying, you know, this is the path we're going to take. This is what I want you to do. That would be a really awkward relationship between a husband and wife. But my question is, just where does it say that a husband should actually like submit to his wife in something other than giving his body? You know, I know that the Bible talks about like the wife's supposed to submit her body to him, and he's supposed to submit his body to her, so they wouldn't be tempted.
Yeah, well, I mean, you answer the question in the prologue to the question. I mean, the very text that you are referencing says explicitly, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another entails the husband submitting to the wife or yielding his rights for his wife, and it also entails the wife yielding her own rights to the husband so that they can have a genuine love relationship. But I don't disagree with the point you made, because the point you made is agreed upon as Paul continues, and I think it's another issue. It is true that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So you're right in saying that there is a hierarchy of relationship in the sense, but not in the sense where someone is putting someone else under the thumb, but rather in the sense of a genuine love relationship. And that's why Paul admonishes husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So again, I don't disagree with what you have said. I simply think that you have to take seriously the very verse that you pointed out at the very beginning of the conversation, and that is Ephesians 5:21.
Okay. I understand that verse, sort of. Okay, so I don't understand that verse.
No, I think you do. I think you said it correctly. Here's the problem. I think the problem is that we are reading untoward meanings into the word submit. It has a connotative meaning as opposed to having a denotative meaning, and that's why I took pains to communicate what submit really means within the context of Scripture. And I've also pointed out in other conversations that the whole idea of obedience, which is so often read into the word submit, is never used with respect to wives and their husbands, only with respect to children in the context of family relationships. Going to have to leave it at that, but good question. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we can't do what we do. So please consider supporting us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Be right back with more answers.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his 4 decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs, and all the latest news on your faith in our world. Again, that's equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Carol, listening in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I just read the Book of Mormon and learned that they believe Jesus Christ is their Savior, but they don't believe in the Trinity. Do you have to believe in the Trinity to be a Christian?
Well, I've often said it's not the absence of knowledge that damns, it is the despising of knowledge that damns. And what's very clear in Scripture, now clear in terms of apprehension, not clear in terms of comprehension, is that there's only one God, that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. But more to the point, it's important to recognize that Mormons not only believe that God was once a man and became God, but we as men ourselves can become as God is. So Joseph Smith clearly taught that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heavens, and therefore Mormonism holds to a plurality of God in contending that as man is, God once was, but as God is, man may become. In Christianity, we believe that Jesus is the self-existent creator of all things, but in Mormonism, he is the spirit brother of Lucifer, who was conceived in heaven by a celestial mother and then came in flesh as a result of the Father having sex with the Virgin Mary. So there are very deep distinctions in terms of the nature of God and the nature of men made by Scripture and violated by Mormon doctrine.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call back to the phone lines, Marie in Chicago, Illinois. Next. Hi, Marie.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for your ministry. I listen to your program every day, and I just really appreciate your work.
Oh, bless you.
Thanks. Bless you. And so I guess my question is about forgiveness, and I just was going to give you sort of a background. I'm not new in my faith, but I am new in my studies, and I just want to be sure that I'm on the right path or that I'm acting in accordance to what the Bible says for forgiveness.
Sure.
I had an incident of sexual abuse with a man in my family when I was younger. And this man was, I was very close to him. He was pretty much a father figure because my father was not around. So once this happened, I tried to, you know, tell my mother, and it just, it never was validated. No one, you know, it wasn't believed at the time, and it came out later that it happened with a few other family members, and then the questions started coming around again. And my question is, I have confronted him, and he apologized. And when we did speak about it, I told him, you know, I forgave him, and I didn't feel that that was really him because he does have a drinking problem, and I felt that that had a lot to do with his actions. But when I'm around him now, I visit them. I'm still around on family, on holidays and for birthdays and whatever. I'm friendly, but I'm a little closed off. I mean, I have forgiven him, and I feel that in my heart what he did was not him, that it was, you know, Satan's act coming through him. But I just wanted to know if biblically I am acting correct, or if there's something I can do, or if there's scripture you could point me to kind of continue to lead me.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't blame you for the way that you feel, and that's not something that's going to be easy to get over. But I do think it's important for you to recognize that if he has sincerely apologized, then he also needs to sincerely take responsibility for what he did. You cannot simply say the devil made me do it or I was drinking at the time and therefore, I mean, you still have to take responsibility for your actions. And if he took responsibility for his actions and he has sought forgiveness from you, then you should offer that forgiveness to him. But remember that, you know, forgiveness is always a two-way street. If you are to forgive me, I have to be repentant. Otherwise, there can be no restoration of fellowship, which is the end of forgiveness. And we should never suppose that our standard of forgiveness is somehow or other higher than God's standard of forgiveness. He subjectively offers us forgiveness and restoration of fellowship, but his forgiveness is not subjectively realized until we repent. So the point that I'm making is simply this, that there has to be someone willing to forgive and someone wanting to be forgiven. It sounds like that's the case here, although the only question mark I would have is whether or not someone is actually taking responsibility for what they did. And it sounds like this person has actually taken responsibility for what they did.
Well, he told me he doesn't remember. He doesn't remember any of the incidents with any of the rest of my family that this has happened with. And that's what he says anyway. And if he is a true alcoholic, which I believe he is, I think he has what they might call like a blackout. And so maybe he really does not remember.
Yeah, but that could happen occasionally. Certainly blackouts can happen with alcoholism occasionally. But if this is a serial situation, it is unlikely that in every situation you can claim this was a blackout. That seems unrealistic
to
me.
And see, for my other family members, he has disowned them. He claims that they're trying to maliciously attack him, and he does not speak to them anymore. I'm the only one out of all of us that has talked to him and offered forgiveness. You know, I'm just sort of torn when I'm around him.
Well, I think the issue for you is already resolved. You are willing to forgive. But again, for true relationship to be restored, there has to be repentance, genuine repentance on the part of the other person. For you, the critical issue is the willingness to forgive. And the operative word, again, that I'm emphasizing over and over again is the word willing. Forgiveness never takes place in actuality unless, again, there is someone genuinely on the other side that wants to be forgiven. So you have to be willing to offer forgiveness. He has to be wanting to receive that forgiveness. But that entails genuine repentance as well. And the reason that willingness is so important is the debts we owe one another are small compared to the infinite debt we owe our Heavenly Father. And because we have been forgiven an infinite debt, it would be a horrendous evil to even consider withholding forgiveness from those who truly seek it. So again, we must always manifest the kind of love that is willing to forgive those who wrong us, but relationship isn't restored unless there's genuine repentance on the other hand or with the other party who genuinely wants to have the reconciliation of fellowship and is going to hold themselves accountable for what they did.
Okay, thank you. And also, I mean, I was going to ask you if you could just maybe give me a few scriptures that I could sort of meditate on when I am feeling a little shaky or unsure, you know, just being in his presence.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a very difficult kind of circumstance. And since there's family involved, obviously it makes it all the more difficult because it's a circumstance that comes up probably on holidays and in many different circumstances. And I think that you are well to keep yourself reserved. This does not mean that you're unwilling to forgive. It just means that you're being prudent. As far as the forgiveness issue is concerned, I always want to point back to what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount takes place Matthew 5 through Matthew chapter 7. So there you have a great primer on forgiveness. Also, Jesus told the story of two debtors. And that story that he told, I think, is very important in the whole process. And I actually explicated all of that in my book, The Prayer of Jesus. So if that's helpful to you, I'd be happy to send it to you.
Okay, that would be great.
Well, hang on and I'll get it out to you.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and may God richly bless you and continue to use you for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our mailing address once again, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web, equip.org, and via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Look forward to speaking with all of you next time on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.